position of partnership, sustainable translation partnership with the EU.
Thank you. And it's important to say that I work on behalf of the Hampshire Sustainable Transformation Partnership, which has its leadership drawn from a number of people around this table, be it elected representatives, be it officers of health and care partners, who lead the process, and I work on their behalf in terms of pulling together, coordinating, and drawing together solutions to meet the needs of local people. So I will be really brief, Chair. There is a report in the pack which sets out the emerging proposition of how Hampshire and the Isle of Wight and Portsmouth and Southampton will work together to respond to the NHS long-term plan that was published in January 2019. And the expectation was from national NHS and therefore the government was that we would work together as a community of health and care leaders over the course of the summer and autumn of 2019 to set out how we will deliver and implement the strategic ambitions set out in the long-term plan. Now, for those of you who haven't pored over the long-term plan, I think it is important just to say, as a strategy, I think it's been universally well regarded across almost all sectors, recognising how care and health needs to evolve over the course of the next 5 to 10 years. It's founded on a really practical assessment of what local people want, and it's also founded on a really practical understanding of what are the challenges and opportunities faced in the health and care sector. Be it the challenges associated with workforce, which I know the Isle of Wight live and breathe on a daily basis about the workforce challenges of recruiting and retaining the caliber and capability of people to support the provision of care, through to the opportunities brought around by empowering citizens to take greater control of their own health and well-being in their local community, through to some of the benefits we can bring around new technologies and new approaches to drive improvements in care and in quality and outcomes for people. So I won't go over the long-term plan. I know that we've received a copy of it and a briefing on it at health and well-being board in the past. I've only got three slides I'd like to point to in direction. First is the case of change, and I think it's really important for us to keep on reminding ourselves what local people are telling us across the communities we serve. And it's a really common, it's a common profile across all. It will vary subtly according to whether you're living in more rural areas in other parts or strong urban parts. But what we know, and it's the same on the Isle of Wight, is some of our people on the Isle of Wight and across Hampshire are experiencing unacceptably poorer access and outcomes and life expectancy than the rest of the population. And health particularly has probably been less driven around identifying and tackling those poorer outcomes than other partners like local authorities and others. And this is a kind of carrier call for health to focus on tackling inequalities and improving outcomes by working much more strongly in partnership with local partners. We know, and I think we'll continue to hear, access continues to be really important for people. Some people find it harder to access care, be it access to general practice, access to emergency care, access to routine care for different conditions. And we need to identify the areas where those access points are challenging and continue to improve them, because access is really important for people and is one of the means by which we reduce the kind of inequalities experienced by people. Again, really relevant for the Isle of Wight is we have continued to find challenges in sustaining the high quality hospital-based care, particularly in kind of smaller hospitals, and indeed in other areas of Edinburgh, we've got some quite old estate. So how do we work together to find solutions for smaller hospitals continuing to sustain high quality provision, locally accessible to people? we, like every public sector body, continues to face financial sustainability challenges. We need to up our game around delivering higher levels of productivity and efficiency, whilst at the same time delivering better outcomes, reduced inequalities, better quality of services. And that's a challenge that we all face as public sector partners, and working together is, in many cases, the way to do that. Workforce I've touched on, and of course, we celebrate the fact that we are helping and sustaining people to live longer, which is a brilliant example of partners working together to sustain and increase life expectancy. But with life expectancy comes increased demands and needs from health and social care and other partners that we need to gear ourselves up to meet on an ongoing basis. And so celebrate life expectancy, but recognise that we can't continue to deliver care in the same way in order to meet the growing elderly population and changing needs and expectations. So I hope nothing I've said there you would shake your head and say that's not relevant. The other one, it's all very relevant. And so we set about working with local people, drawing on the experiences of work that the other one have been doing over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, actually, the Vanguard Programme, transmogrified into the Island Plan, shifting into now the strategic transformation plan for the Isle of Wight, and we listened and took the best practice that the Isle of Wight had generated, and we shared and tested that with other partners across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, and pitched it against the long-term plan expectations, and have drafted a proposition about how we will implement the strategic objectives set out in the long-term plan collectively. In the main, the focus will be on the Isle of Wight. 90% of stuff in terms of the implementation will be led by people around this table and will be responsible for implementing the standards of care. And the focal point will be the Isle of Wight ICP Integrated Care Partnership. We will set standards and processes. There will be some things, a little, but some things that the Isle of Wight will work with partners across the mainland, things like digital infrastructure, solutions around rapid access to cancer services, things that are actually less done at larger scale, and not necessarily done off the island, but more importantly, best done, planned, and invested together in order to get the best world-class availability. But again, importantly, this plan lifts the Isle of Wight plan and adds it front and centre as the delivery architecture for how we move forward. So, second slide is really just to say that it is important occasion to call out things that we should be really proud of. And the first one I think is to say that we're proud of our cancer survival rates locally. We've got the best 10-year cancer survival rate in the country. That's in part because of the excellence of the impact, but it's also because of the surveillance, screening, and early identification of cancers in our community. As we move forward, cancer, which is the largest cause of death in our population, we reduce that, continue to reduce that, not only by getting better and having more clinicians involved in cancer services, but actually beginning to focus much more on the prevention, early identification, and recognize that's where the big wins come. So good, but could get better. We've got to move from 55% early identification to 75% in the course of 4 years. So big challenges present upon us. We, again, working together with Hampshire and the Island, started to identify really what a lot of partners have known for many years, which is homes is fundamental to health and well-being. Housing is central to sustain people in good health and reducing vulnerability, and health particularly needs to get on the page around doing much more about supporting people living in high quality good homes and housing and sustaining them, and particularly if they have mental health needs, how do we prevent vulnerable tendencies tipping into crisis and homelessness, which is a big driver for poor outcomes and burden on the individual, their carers, and also the public services. So another example of good stuff. We are we proud of the work done around services for pregnant women, the most amount of choice, the most amount of information, we're providing, if you like, now digital access. Most mothers to be actually are quite digitally literate, and they want more and more and more control. They don't want to carry around red books. They want to be able to effectively carry around their whole care plan digitally, so wherever they go, everybody knows what it is, and they can plan and manage their journey through to delivery and seamlessly and digitally. And that's what we've done. And we're beginning now to see a whole host of, probably not as relevant as the RMI, but a whole host of additional digitally and telephony-based access points moving forward across the country and the RMI. So 24/7 you can access crisis lines on more or less every condition now to support and sustain people in urgent care. So just a few examples. And then I will effectively now just move to final slide, which is so what are we doing about it? Simon has been leading on the chapter of the long-term plan around creating a radically different approach to sustain people, support people to prevent ill health and stay well. And I know you've heard that from health in the past, and we've tended to kind of do it but not really throw ourselves into it. The long-term plan is absolutely central to a population health model, supporting identifying how we can prevent illness and sustain people well. And again, I would put on all the content, but it's in the pack, and again, Simon can describe how we are pursuing that. The second is developing a high, strong, high-quality health and care system designed around these local people. And again, maybe that's something that Jonathan could reflect on, the development of primary care networks, the establishing integrated primary community services, fully integrated between health, local authorities, the voluntary sector, and place-based architecture, sustaining people living well on an ongoing basis. Thriving hospitals, and again, Maggie's been central to, well, in fact, it will be central to the development of a thriving island-based hospital, working in partnership with mainland service provision for both physical and mental health services to sustain the quality but maintain local access. And the work that's been done locally is front and centre of that thriving hospital. And we call it network care. How do you maintain local but draw on the skills and expertise of the community? And then a really driven approach to ensuring that people with mental health needs and learning disabilities and autism are changed, and a big investment process, the largest investment we've seen for many a year in investment in mental health and disability autism services. Underneath all of those clear statements are a whole raft of improvement trajectories, be it the number of people with severe mental illness receiving health checks, all the way through to outcome rates and mortality rates around maternity services, through to all points between. As I said, we've developed a proposition and a plan. We submitted that plan following the notification with local communities and citizens and with local stakeholders. We await the sign-off of the plan. We anticipate that imminently. And at that point, it becomes a final testing, socialisation, collective sign-off by the community leadership across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, and then move into the implementation phase. As I said, predominantly 90% driven by island-based focus through the RCP, but with one or two areas also taken forward by the community leadership for the country and Ireland.
Thank you. I'm deliberating on mine here. I'm very long for the government report on the ICCP, and I'm very keen to get your take on the ICCP. I'm just wondering whether we put that on the table as well, and have a general debate about that too. But if I give you a heads up, we've got a couple of things to say prior to that. First of all, when I read the digital, sorry, the best in the year of survival rates in the country, which is what you put up, I was in the media. That's quite a nice fact to be able to put out, because one of the attractions of Hampshire, by the way, is that we are an inspirational place to grow up, live particularly, and work. And to be able to say that in this part of the country, you are in an area which is doing that level of response, I think is a good thing. So hopefully I've given a lot of enough information to think about this a bit. That was the first comment. The digital infrastructure that you mentioned, I'm aware there's quite a lot of work going on at the Oldham College and elsewhere in relation to health and social care and digital development, and I didn't know, we weren't aware of this question, but I didn't know what connection yet you had with that piece of work. It's very early days. Janet Stevens is the lead on it. We ourselves are doing a lot of work around digital development now through our plans for the digital hub of Cowes. And our lead on this from the council perspective is Gary Peace, who's on the cabinet team. And I think listening to what you've said, there's quite a lot of interaction we should get in this digital arena now, because we have a real opportunity to be at the front end. We've got our, obviously our Ireland broadband drive, which is going to make us a gigabyte island in practice, I think, within 12 months or so. So I'm just thinking how to link this up. Those are the points I'm going to raise. I've got one other relation to the ICP, and I paused and thought, would it be useful to have Claire's report on the table?
I did have some comments on the paper to supplement to what Richard had said. But before I do those comments, one of the things I did want to do was to just let everybody know that, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but I probably will. When we got the request in last year from Boris Johnson's office around submitting a bid for further capital monies, it was Richard actually who was instrumental in putting that bit together. I know a lot of people thought it was down to me, and that's always very nice to get me, thanks. But I did want to say while he's here, you don't always get the chance to meet him. If it hadn't been for the work that Richard did on our behalf through the SDP, I'm not sure that bid would have been successful. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to say introduce that and to say thank you to Richard. But the comments I wanted to add in supplement to what Richard said is, I think we've got to try and simplify this paper as well. And there are three real elements to it to me, which are very dovetailed into our island health and care, health and care plan. So as you know, our health and care plan is predicated on three pillars. One is productivity, one is new models of care, and one is partnerships. And this paper and what Richard's described to you is really taking that up to the next level as a system. So, as you know, we are working through our full local care board, morphing into the ICP, on all those areas. What can we do at scale on island to make sure that we provide as much value for money? We know that historically we have a dependency on bed-based model, both for acute and mental health services. And we also know that a lot of our services being subscale can't survive without active partners that could help us with those issues. And if when you read this paper and any others that come out from the SDP, you apply your thinking in that way, you can see how much synergy there is between what we're doing and what the rest of the country is doing. I did want to say, and Richard will correct me if I'm wrong, we've been very fortunate in our contribution to this point because of the work that we did last year with the Health Repair Plan. So all of the financial assumptions that have come from the island in relation to how we can contribute to the expectation at STP level have had that real validation through the production of our Health and Care Plan, which is a three-year plan. I don't think everywhere else across Hampshire has got that level of detail. And so some of what Rich has been describing is still high level. And I think when everybody's health and care plans or equivalents are developed to the majority of ours, the next iteration of this plan will be somewhat easier, because we know what we want with partnerships, we know what we need with new models of care, and we're absolutely clear on where our areas for maximum focus on productivity are. I think the production of this plan would have been easier if everywhere in the system would have been a little bit more mature. I don't say that in criticism, it's complex to do. So that was really the goal. I know I want to cover off some of the how we feel the governance of this, and without doubt, and that really does require emphasis, there are considerable financial challenges in delivering this plan. The workforce issues that we face on island are very significant, and actually the areas where we've got the biggest significant workforce gaps is echoed across all of the other organisations across for settlement. So it doesn't give us a magic solution. We're all spending an awful lot of money on workforce outside of normal establishments through banking agency. And this plan's financial recovery is really predicated on being able to make sure that the workforce is being paid for at the right levels and values, not with all that extra cost that goes to agency workforce. So I have both that to add and not to have anything as well.
Can I just say that I love the keep it simple approach and due course is helping to as you go wider than bodies like this. I think the other people just need to understand in practice what's going on. So I think that's a really good analogy. I love the three clear directions on this. Just want to highlight as well, as we're listening here, I'm sure you all follow the news on Bournemouth and Paul and the drama of the A&E closing and then moving forward. So I think that's only like 2 miles up the road. And here on the island, we've got a sea to cross, a sea, but we've got all of that. We've got the challenges that you have been working with in the system, maybe. So I think when I listen to things like that, I often think back to the really know what we're attending on the island. Okay, John, do you want to make any comments
on that? Just ask signings to input on this paper as well, because yes, I'm
just really
part of the whole process. Not just as our counter in the island wide, but he's been very
good. Yeah, Simon, well, that's okay. John?
Thank you, Chairman. I think it is important from Simon, but I just wanted to follow on from Maggie. I would say many sentences to Maggie, but I think in terms of thinking through this paper, I think Richard did exactly what I would do in terms of the presentation, in terms of what's the case for change, which is clearly set out on page 5 of your documentation, and then what are the objectives and what are we trying to achieve by this partnership, which is set out on page 6. I think fundamentally, I think we have to remember it's almost a partnership. The SDP is a partnership for the willing, much as the ICP is a partnership for the willing, but people are willing because they want to try and make a difference, they want to try and address the issues and the challenges that face the community of Hampshire and Wight, and for ourselves, the Isle of Wight. And I think that hopefully this is an iterative process that as it develops, whilst very much we're focused on trying to address some of the real major causes of health, I think as we move on through the development of the partnership, I like to think that we're starting to focus a lot more on the preventative side of things rather than the treatment side of things, so that we do, through this particular work, we start to bring in things like housing and anti-poverty type strategies and how do we make safer neighbourhoods and how do we improve environments and what's our response to climate change and those sorts of things, all are considered by the partners that sit around the Shire White SCP table as well as our own ICP. So I think that's an iteration as we move forward and that will come from improved ways of working that have been learned through the SDP process. I think the other thing, just to remind ourselves, given the way that things are currently constructed, all of the partners who sit around the SDP table are still responsible to their own sovereign bodies and their sovereign organisations. So the SDP itself is not a decision-making body. All those organisations have to go away and then report back to them. I have to pay credit again to Richard because I think sometimes that can look a bit like herding cats where not everybody's quite comfortable with the situation that one organisation might want to take, but as a collective, I think people have come together and worked very well collectively together and have put some of their own kind of institutional organisational bits to one side as they've tried to progress and tried to move forward. The final comment, which really leads into the ICP paper after Simon spoke with the Chairman, is the model that's now being described, which I think is being supported by the Department for Health, is transformation of the STP into the ICS. And I know we kind of get into lots of acronyms and all the rest of it, but it just describes a way of working. But as Richard's described, the delivery of the plan is seen across four geographies, one of which is the Isle of Wight, and one of which is where our ICP fits into it. We've got a further paper on that. So that ICP, when we come to that paper, needs to look down to what we need to do on the island, but needs to look up to influence what's going on at the STP level, so it's got a dual role and an important role to play in that. And the final point, is, I think the importance of the STP is how it's seen by the likes of the Department of Health and Social Security. It's seen as a conduit for funding, for transformational funding that will make a difference. So, if we're looking for transformational funding to help us deliver plans on the island, we need to make sure those plans are reflected in the SDP, and we need to make sure the SDP are then reflecting those plans up to the Department for Health and Social Security. Thank you.
Simon.
Following on from part of what John said about this board and the role, being a prevention programme, there's sort of briefly three programmes in that. It's one about actually how we support the NHS to do what it needs to do to really upscale prevention to its care pathway. So thinking about smooth safety throughout the whole pathway, thinking about physical activity. So there's a big piece of work, and how can we help the NHS to do that? Because I think to this date, it's done it in part, but we haven't done it systematically. There's another programme about delivering at-scale prevention programmes, thinking about screening programmes, there's the Healthy Hearts programme and the Diabetes Prevention programme, amongst others. And the final one is really about us as a board, as John said, how do we think about those issues that really impact on health that aren't traditionally the remit of the health service? So think about housing, think about planning, thinking about how we work with our proven police, because actually we do a lot of work thinking about the trauma-informed approach we're doing together, which is why we're around the table, why Sarah's here, because otherwise if it's talking about NHS and outpatients in beds, I think Sarah will get sleep, but if you talk about the wider determinants of health and think about how do we do that and target and work on areas and issues that are wider than that, we can have wider and more partners. So how do we improve air quality? That's not an issue for Maggie and her organisation, but it impacts on her actual role. We all have roles. So I think there's a role there. How do we connect the system? How do we work with colleagues around the table to make sure we all tackle the wider terms of health? And that will help us develop our health wellbeing plans going forward for this board.
Thank you, Simon. And I'm going to apologise now, because I'm looking at Simon Bryant, Interim Director of Public Health. I should be looking at Simon Bryant, appointed Director.
Should be, because it was a long process to get
to
that point.
That was a smooth way of congratulating you.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments you want to make on this paper before I move to the ICT paper?
This paper was just presented. Yeah. I just wanted to see, I think, the three things that come out in the last few years of the Pacific. One is, for me, it's important the voice of the user, the patient, the resident. To me, that has to need to be the centre of it. And I think one of the things on the island is we have My Life and One, we have the thing that actually that people have lost trust. We need to look how we build that trust back. And like I say, we're here to go again. Preventative, yes, absolutely. Preventative has to be things like accessibility. And I point to the fact that the GP practices, then the reality is braiding. I'll just give the example of braiding. We need actual GP practices so that an 87-year-old can actually walk down the road to get to the GP. Now, in Braiding, they're going to have to actually get on a bus or a taxi or whatever to actually get there. So, and also, we do need housing. Desperately, we need we need social housing and accessible housing. And we need housing that's got space around it. But we need, in all the plans that are coming forward, developers are putting GP surgeries in there, but actually not talking to the CCG, but that actually is going to actually happen. And again, we've got to get a joint, there's got to be accessibility. Social prescribing is, I think, very important, and in fact, the mental health practitioner at Tower Surgery is working incredibly well and with some very good results, but actually getting the money to send them to swimming or doing activities that social prescribing are not there. And I do link on to mental health. I know that there is something about co-designing services with volunteers and service users are being led by Solent Mind as part of this. But there was talk about £1 million that needed to go into the voluntary sector, because at the end of the day, if you get people out, they've got to be able to access local self-help support groups that are vital at the bottom of the chain, because that prevents people coming back up the chain. it's to break the isolation. With as low as it's not in isolation, often actually happens to the rest of the house. And I'm sorry to put that in. Thank you.
I've been asked, was there a question?
It was not a question, just one of you. Any other views or comments? Paul?
I have to say, when I read this paper, it's definitely details going into this, level of involvement from really senior people across the island and across other counties is incredible, and we should thank you for that. I would like copies of these slides, actually, because the summary is the key points, because not that I wasn't aware of it, was that we were the best fiber-based council in the country. I wasn't aware of that. Just a copy of these sort of summary slides and the key points that we can use, you know, with our residents, would be really useful to back up, you know, the level of detail here. But, you know, thank you for the work you've done. It's going to be a really detailed and active plan by everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we can also be making that sense of you made that happen yourself through our system. Thank you for that suggestion.
Any other comments?
Any other comments on this? Okay. I'll send a comment.